right, it's that time again, Sunday night, and you are listening to The Ooze. This is your host, Jason Sorrell. I think TC's on the line. TC, you're up online too, man?
Yeah, I'm on, man.
All right. We run a little bit behind. Zach in the chat room let us know that we didn't post the usual, hey, there's a show on tonight. So we're a little behind on that, and TC's just rolling in under the gun. So your hosts, TC Downing and Jason Sorrell, we're on The Ooze. The call-in number, you're going to need these numbers, 347-989-1371. So TC, what's going on, man? How you been?
I've been okay, man. As a matter of fact, I just got done watching a fucking awesome episode of Spartacus. That's why I'm late. But it was well worth it, dude. And one of the final scenes, the dude lifts his sword up, takes the entire front face of this guy off, just in one swipe, just boom, and the brain slides out. It's perfect.
Right on. That's probably a show that I want to check out. I'll be looking for it on DVD or something. Jamie is a big fan. Jamie, for people who don't know, my girlfriend's a big fan of the Game of Thrones book, the George R.R. Martin books. And Game of Thrones is a series being put on by HBO. Is Spartacus Showtime or HBO?
Spartacus is Showtime, I think. I don't know. I download the shit. Well, actually, correction, my better half downloads the shit. So.
Right on. So, yeah, if you dig medieval shit and lots of tits and prostitutes and political intrigue, check out Game of Thrones. And Spartacus, that's something I know something I want to check out. I've seen the previews and everything else, and if I get some time, definitely want to look into that. As far as stuff going on with me and everything, we celebrated St. Patty's Day last night, and we managed to tune into the news. Lehigh did the show right from one of my rooms here at the Sorrell compound. But we were drinking and eating, and we watched. To make it a St. Patty's Day thing, we watched Leprechaun live, or Leprechaun in the Hood. One of the best films I've ever seen. I highly recommend it. If anybody tells you that movie's crap, they're dead wrong. Check out Leprechaun in the Hood. And I'm being facetious there.
Yeah, I thought
there.
That
don't
was
actually
one
movie. Of...
One...
Shit.
Sorry.
Go ahead, dude. Go ahead,
I was just going to say, I actually thought that was one of the better Leprechauns, so...
You thought it was one of the better Leprechauns. Okay. See, I haven't seen the other ones, but I was joking. That film, it was painful to get through. And we actually, for the little get-together last night, we actually got that one and its sequel and didn't even bother with the sequel. We just said the hell with all that.
then you probably don't want to see any of the other movies, the Leprechaun movies. It's all pretty cheesy, but that is one of the better ones. At least there's some like slapstick type humor or campiness to it to keep it interesting.
Right on. And tonight we don't really have a show topic. I know you've been hearing this pretty much for a week or two straight from different episodes of The Ooze, where we really don't have show topics or whatever. And it's we're all busy, I think. That's what's going on. But all that's about to change. I'm going to get more on the stick on making sure that we have something to talk about on Sunday nights. I know that you were saying last night on The Ooze that you wanted to get back to occult discussions, and you've got a show topic planned for next Saturday. You're going to be talking about the Agori. Next Sunday on this show right here on The Ooze, what I thought would be cool to do, because the Sunday show, sometimes we're serious about shit and sometimes we're not. And I know when we first started out, when we first kicked the thing off, we were trying not to be serious. So the next Sunday show, this is a drunken idea I had last night. We'll see how this goes. What I think we'd like to do is have a whole maybe 2 hours, a block, where we have people call in, where listeners go ahead and call in and just tell us the dirtiest, raunchiest, most fucked up joke they can think of. And try to get our man TC here to laugh. All right. And at the end of 2 hours, we'll be keeping track of who told what joke and whatever. And at the end of 2 hours, whoever TC said told the best joke. And the delivery has to be part of it, so you have to call in and tell the joke. Don't type it up in the chat room or anything like that. You actually have to call in and tell the joke. If TC says that was the best joke, the best one he heard all night, the best delivery or whatever, that person will win one of the new Satanic International Network T-shirts. So for free, we'll just ship that out to you. So that's the show for next Sunday. But while I don't have anything to talk about tonight, I've got a whole list of shit that I can talk about. Before I kick off into that list, man, yeah, what do you got? What else is going on, man? Spartacus and what else?
Fuck, man, just barely staying alive at this point. That's what I've got going on. I've been I spend so much time chasing the one thing that I hate the most. It's ridiculous. I really don't know how to say that other than that. I don't know. I guess outside of that, really, if I wanted to put things in perspective, I've been spending some time really focusing again on the home level, just making sure that, my domestic relationship is good, making sure that things around here are getting taken care of and replaced or whatever, and trying to, plan, navigate through this last stretch, it seems like, before I start making, a living again. And so, I mean, that's what I've been focusing on, that. And I've had a surge of writings that I've been working on back and forth. And there's like five, maybe six different posts that I've been going through and adding a sentence to here and there. And we're kind of trying to pull together and develop my ideas. It's not as easy as it seems in my head. Like, I mean, all this stuff just kind of works together in my head. But when you take the whole bit and lay it down on paper, it presentation's everything. So that's been my refocus, is just kind of shoring up the presentation, trying to decide which aspect I wanted to come from. Did I want to come from an informative perspective? Did I want to come from a creative, colorful perspective? Is it more important to invoke, particular images through words, or is it more important to give direct instruction? And I just think that I'm leaning away from the idea of direct instruction as being something that's plausible. I mean, that sort of implies that I have something to teach, and that's just not going to be my bag, man,
Right on. More about having something to say rather than a lesson to get across.
Right. It's not about building drones or trying to program people with my ideas, but rather force them to look at theirs and compare them. And, that I think is great. I mean, one of the things that I thought was kind of fun today, we have our little trip to take Regan back, so it's 3 hours in the car. So sometimes Nikki and I will get into some more serious discussions, and when that happens, I generally tend to take the polar opposite. Generally tend to take the polar opposite stance as what she does, and argue the point. And it's kind of fun in that way, because it doesn't necessarily have to be something I have conviction in. It's just a thought exercise. So.
Right on.
I'm getting dirty looks right now. it pisses her off when I do it.
Yeah, I hear you, man. Well, cool. So I'm glad you're getting back into the writing and everything. And I hear you about, the struggle that you're going through right now. That tattoo apprenticeship leaves you no time really to earn an income, and it's all about, I mean, you're probably chomping at the bit wanting to get some skin and start trying to earn a little bit of money.
Yeah.
But yeah, man, hold out because it's well worth it. Just do what you can to get through, I guess. But yeah, I saw the writing they were talking about last night. I went on eminentmind.info and checked it out and started this discussion about leadership. And I actually called in at some point and made my little point about leadership. But what you were just saying about, just speaking your mind, putting out some ideas and everything out there, I think that's a mark of a good leader. The point isn't necessarily to teach anybody or to try to create drones or to, cultivate followers. Rather, it's to sit there and say, here's my example. And, get some feedback. What do you think of my example? Is it a good example, bad example? What would you do differently? Ultimately, like I said last night, you don't want people to follow you. You don't want to, if you want people to walk with you. That's always a better way to do things. You always accomplish more and you always feel better about what you're accomplishing rather than having to either follow somebody else and do it their way or tell other people how they're going to do it. So cool, man. Cool about the writings.
Right on.
And given that we really don't have anything to talk about tonight, the reason I gave the number out, and again, I'm going to give that out, 347-989-1371. I've got the chat room open, the large view chat room open, and I'm bouncing back and forth between the studio and chat. So if you call in, it's a minute before we get you on the air. Just sit tight. We'll make sure we get you on. So if you guys want to call in and talk about anything, if you saw something in the news or got some topic that you think we should be discussing or whatever, feel free to call in. But off the top of my head, I kind of wanted to talk about shit we got going on at Creative Audio Studios just for a quick minute. We had our little commercial that we played to death and everything, and I'm working on this new thing, and I wanted to see what you guys thought about this. I've got a bunch of artwork, a stack of artwork, a bunch of different shit that I've done over the years. And there's, fetish art, tattoo designs, just all kinds of stuff, all weird stuff and everything else. It's all over the place. And I want to move on. I feel like having this stack of artwork sitting there is making it, for whatever reason, difficult for me to move and do new stuff because I've got all this old stuff, piling up, trying to figure out what I'm going to do with it. And I've done, I've looked at, merchandising, putting out stickers and everything else. But I decided I wanted to put together some sort of value, some sort of, book where, because the originals, it's hard to buy an original. I understand that, having, bought original pieces of artwork myself. Usually you throw down a chunk of money. It's just difficult to do typically for most people. So it's hard to unload the original pieces of artwork, and I'm working on that angle also. But I've always been about trying to make the artwork that I have available to the public, available to whoever wants to get it at a minimal cost. So there's all kinds of price points, to buy different things that I've done. And I think maybe I'd put together some sort of book before that was a bunch of my artwork. I don't remember. It didn't go very well, and I wasn't happy with it. But I have this idea, and I'm working on this, and I'm probably going to have this extra done this week. I've got most of the artwork formatted already and almost ready to go. I'm thinking about putting out, or I will be putting out, what I'll be calling an adult coloring book, okay? So it's going to be all the black and white, right, all the black and white line work from the fetish art, from the tattoo designs, from the weird things I've done. So this is going to be almost like a tattoo artist flash book, too, because it's all line work. So it transfers well over to stencils for tattoos, but it's going to be it's just all this different all this different artwork and everything else. And it's going to be set up like a coloring book. I'll talk about the artwork a little bit on some of the pages, but I'm trying to get up to like 80 pieces, and I think I formatted, we're up to like maybe 67 pieces so far that I formatted, and I've got a stack here still that I'm still going through, and I'm trying to pick out the best of. There's a lot of shit that's not going into it, and there's some stuff that's going to be in it that hasn't been seen anywhere on the websites or anything yet. So that's on its way this week. What do you think, man?
I think that sounds awesome. Really, it just sounds like a lot of fun. I would almost be interested in some kind of a project where you're not just pimping stuff that you've already done, but rather putting together a creative adult coloring book. you know, it's something where, you know, if it's the adult coloring book for males, you know, you specifically can color in those regions that, you know, men pay the most attention to, and that would be where most of the focus would be on it or whatever. You know, kind of exercise and perversion at the same time as something to do to relieve stress and just as a, I don't know, idle activity.
Well, and I've actually seen books like that where the you've got all the, you know, the bodies out there and everything else, but the genitalia are not there, or the breasts aren't there. So you got this chick laid back, spread eagle, and, you know, and she's clearly moaning or whatever, back arched, but there's no breasts. You can make the breasts as large or as small as you want them to be. I've seen, you know, connect the dots for adults and everything else. The thinking, and that might be something I would be looking into, and it's just a matter of, you know, doing fetish art. That's one of the things I do, and this I'll talk about that in just a minute, what fetish art is and what I mean by that. But it's, you know, I have a lot of this fetish art and everything else, and people typically don't buy that type of artwork to hang on their walls. They buy it in book form. And part of the reason I went with this coloring book idea is that, just for anybody who doesn't know this, we use Lulu.com to publish our books. So, you know, everything gets, you know, it's a self-publishing thing, you know, a vanity publishing, whatever you want to call it. So with this, their format, if I were to do a collection of color artwork, we're talking about a book of art that would be, you know, around $50 or $60 for a full color what they do, which is just way more than I think anybody wants to pay for a book of artwork. Whereas with this, with a black and white format, I can go ahead and put it out there for $8-$9 if you want the hard copy, and I'm going to make the, you know, the download available also for something really cheap. So that's why I thought, okay, we'll do this. We'll call this a coloring book. And yeah, down the road, if I go to put a collection together again, I might actually do something where it's all, you know, this type of artwork or whatever, and it's all made specifically for the coloring book or what have you. I don't know, man. I guess I like to do too many different things, and so it's hard to focus on one, you know, major project like that. I mean, that tarot thing that I did years ago was a major undertaking, and when I finally did the last card for that thing, I couldn't wait to get the hell out of it.
Right. I mean, you could call it something like, you know, Uncle Spanky's activity book or something like that. You know,
right on.
That kind of thing would be cool. So.
Yep. Dirty jokes in it. Connect the dots, and yeah. Word games. Do something stupid. Right on.
Right, word games, whatever. Yeah, exactly, man. I mean, that kind of thing I think would be something that you could actually move, man, and it would get your artwork a little more known. So, I mean,
right,
your style
right.
is definitely one that, I mean, it's just quirky enough, and those chicks are just real enough that any of these guys with the anime fetish are, you know, that they've bought the T-shirts just to jizz over them 1,000 times, so.
Speaking of T-shirts, the website's been updated with the Zombie Girl T-shirts, the new one. The Dead Girls Don't Say No T-shirt, which has three different Zombie Girls, two different versions, a censored and an uncensored version. So definitely check that out. And I'm getting ready to upload I did an I Love Brains design zombie thing a year ago. And I never got around to putting it up on a T-shirt. Well, that's actually available through our printers for that shirt, and I need to go ahead and get that up on the website also. And, of course, there are the Sin shirts. And so if you want to check that out also, if you guys are interested in a Sin shirt, I actually had a dude order a shirt. This guy's from Australia, okay? So when he goes to the website to order the shirt, the website won't – PayPal won't calculate shipping out of country. So for whatever reason, I don't know why. I don't know if it's the way I have it set up or whatever. They didn't calculate the shipping costs. So he sent me just the cost of the shirt, which doesn't do me any good. So I sent him an email a week ago saying, hey man, I need the shipping costs. I told him how much it was going to cost to ship it out and everything. And I said, just let me know when you send it to my PayPal again, and we'll go ahead and get it taken care of. Haven't heard from him since. So I'm going to try to get a hold of him tomorrow, send him another email, and basically tell him if I haven't heard from him in 3 days, well, then I'm just going to refund his money and get that taken care of.
Right on.
Along with the Creative Body Studio stuff, you mentioned blogs. I've been trying to get back into blogging, back into writing. There's just been so much other stuff I've been trying to do, and it's been a busy beginning of the year for tattooing and everything. Just crazy. So the Creepshow blog, the Sorrell's Creepshow blog is the blog that really has gotten some of my attention lately. Last week we did a blog on Galaxy of Terror. Have you seen that movie, Matt?
No, I actually, wait a minute, what is it?
Galaxy of Terror. Made
Galaxy
1981.
Of Terror. Let me reference the database real quick. Have I seen Galaxy of Terror? Is that a yes? I don't think she's paying attention. Nicole, have I seen the movie Galaxy of Terror?
No.
No, okay.
The only reason to see this film is there is a rape scene in it. A giant maggot rapes some chick. Just literally dissolves her clothes off in a matter of seconds, and she dies from fright. She has a fear of worms. So the movie, she mentions, I'm freaked out by worms. I have a fear of worms, and then she's raped by this. It's the size of a bus practically, and it rapes her. It's the only reason to see this movie. Otherwise, the rest of it's crap. But you can read about that on the Sorrell Creepshow blog. The next movie, of course, I'll have to do is Leprechaun in the Hood, because that's what we watched this weekend, and I'll be talking about what I thought of that. So check that blog out. I got a friend of mine. This guy's name is Bud Weiser. I shit you not. Okay. he's applied to places where I've worked before and used me as a reference. So I get calls from people going, do you know who this dude is? Is his name really Bud Weiser? The guy's really name's really Bud Weiser. And he's getting ready to release a book. If you check this guy out on Facebook, he's under Tapeworm Press, and he's working on a bunch of comic strips. I used to do comic strips with this guy. The book's going to be called The Life and Crimes of Bud, and he's been talking about doing this for a while, but he's hitting it really hard right now. I'm trying to get these comic strips out, and he's been mining me for ideas and everything else, so look for that here, hopefully later this summer.
That'd be cool.
That's all the nonsense. Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. Most of it's just pretty funny. He's got a quirky kind of art style and everything. It's really a quirky comic strip, but it's shit that he actually deals with, and just the demented stuff that he thinks of when he deals with, old ladies who cut in front of him in line, and people begging for change or whatever, how he handles that shit. So definitely check that out. So that's pretty much all the Creative Body Studio stuff I want to discuss. Other than, I guess, if you notice, we changed the logo out on the front page. And I mentioned this just a few minutes ago, because the tattoo art for a while now has been my main focus. It's still my main focus is doing tattoo art, because, that's really my bread and butter right there. But the stuff that's on the website tends to lean towards fetish art. And this is, erotica, artwork of a sexual nature, usually involving, at least with my artwork, some BDSM, leather gear, latex, fishnet, shit like that. And since the website's so heavily in that direction, basically, there's on the website, there's the tattoo portfolio, my tattoo portfolio, and then there are six other portfolios of different types of artwork, most of it leaning, going in a different direction entirely. So I decided to go ahead and change that logo out to the demon girl there with the little bit of bondage gear on or whatever. So that's what's going on there. That was pretty much it with the Creative Body Studios thing. I did have some questions. I wish Zach had stuck around the chat room. I think you, TC, actually saw this going down. There was a Blackwood troll on Sin. Is that right?
Yeah, there was a Blackwood troll on Sin. they popped on there and posted the repetitive mundane shit that you might actually hear from the real Blackwood. But the way they were coming about it was just, it was more or less complimentary to Blackwood rather than actually as derogatory as he is naturally. But still, it was a good parody, and I kind of thought that was the case, and I'm also pretty certain that I know who it is. And there's a few reasons for that. This person is a prolific blogger, and when certain things are irritating them or when they're focusing in certain directions or another, they tend to make mention of them. And when they're doing their blogging, and they had mentioned Satanic Social Networks in their last blog, and I kind of sent out some smoke signals when they made mention of that, and I think that I'm going to say this is maybe a little bit arrogant on my part, but I think that this troll that rolled in was responding to the smoke signals, so.
I see. Okay, well, I rolled in and saw the post had been moved and then removed and everything else. I didn't get a chance to see any of it. I know for whatever reason that Tom Blackwood and Allison Jones have been making a lot of noise on the internet, and it's been entertaining to watch. I know it started to take kind of a personal turn if it wasn't already. You know, they're talking about, different, ones. And I can't say for sure which one is and which one isn't. I don't know. One's claiming the other just committed credit card fraud and stealing money from people. Then the other's claiming that the first person is in trouble with the IRS and their business is going under. And I mean, just a typical, backbiting internet war.
Slander.
The one thing. What's that?
Said slander.
Yeah, it's typical bullshit, typical back and forth and everything else. The one thing that I did find interesting is that, or the one thing I guess made me chuckle because it's true. One of these people, Blackwood, is taking this all very, very seriously. I mean, this is his thing, man. This is what he does, and he's all pissy and everything else. Allison Jones, is taking it as kind of just entertainment, kind of just as a fucking joke, something to do. I know she doesn't like Blackwood's methodologies or his message or the way he deals with people and everything else. So I know that she's serious about trying to take him down. But she really seems to be having, some fun with it. And this is just, as an observer, Blackwood just seems to be doing everything he can when he does do anything to, try to tear her down. And it's odd that, there's such focus on, on his part, on Allison Jones. I want to say it's because, she's the one that actually stepped up and challenged him. When he was calling other people out, she's the only one, or she's the one who actually full-on responded. But then I'd have to think, well, maybe there's something to all this, thing about maybe Blackwood being kind of attracted to the chick, too. I mean, he's on the road all the time. Truckers get kind of lonely. And if you got a woman paying attention to you, even if she's telling you to fuck off, that's attention, man. And that might be the dude's thing, so I don't know.
You just go off of the face value of claims that he has made, he's made claims that he's built a multi-million dollar business doing this trucking thing. And, let's face it, anybody who has a lot of money has a lot of stress. That's just the way that goes. The more money you got, the greater you get, the quicker. It's just the fact. I mean, look at Jason Sorrell, perfect example.
Okay. Yeah, my life is laid back, man, if that's the case.
Yeah, I'm just playing, man. Yeah, you are great, but anyway... The point is that when they start to get into high-stress positions, like the high-level positions where they are actually making that kind of money, they generally tend to, pay women to kick them and treat them like shit. They like to get dressed up like little hookers or whores and get spanked by women. I mean, that's something that it's not necessarily taboo. It's a real thing that's occurring. You can pop onto your local Craigslist anywhere in the country take a look in the exotic sections or whatever the hell they are now, and you see that kind of thing. You see men petitioning to be degraded, and maybe that's what it is. Is, you know, he's not having to pay for once to get kicked in the nuts.
Right on, right. Some public humiliation shit going on.
yeah, exactly. So, oh shit, there's a caller.
Oh shit, all right. Let me go ahead and bring him on.
Okay.
319 area code, you're on the use, it's on your brain.
Take my hand, walk in the valley of the darkness. Your mother sucks bunions in hell.
Okay.
Yeah. And they dropped.
I couldn't even understand that.
Sounds like they had a little voice simulator thing, and didn't have the balls to actually ride it out. They just, you know, they ran in, did their thing. That was a drive-by fail. That's what that was called. That, you know, that kind of shit. So
right on. Well, what did they say? I don't want to. Go ahead.
Something like you know, something about being in the Valley of Darkness, and that your mother sucks cocks in hell, and blah blah. You know, this, you know, some famous, you know, movie line, basically. You know, whoopty freaking fucking do. So.
Right on.
Yeah.
Awesome. So.
Thanks for the attention.
We've been in intellectually schooled, Jason.
right. They win.
Yeah.
So I know it's right now. It's just Lehigh sitting in the chat room, but if anybody would get the number again, 347-989-1371. Let me put this out there one more time, since we're at the bottom of the hour, basically. Next week's show, I'm hoping, will be much more entertaining, because we're going to be doing call in, tell your raunchiest joke. I know that our buddy Tim here locally, he's going to be calling in. He's got some jokes he wants to tell. The guy's got a lot of fucking dirty jokes and shit. I'll tell a fucking few jokes. We'll hopefully get people calling in, and we're giving away a T-shirt. So if you want one of those coveted Sin T-shirts for your very own, then go ahead and give me a call that night, and we'll be happy to hear your joke. And if you make TC laugh, if he thinks it's the funniest joke he's heard that night, you will get the shirt. You will be the winner. We'll make that happen. So I'll be making announcements about it in Sin and on Facebook and everything else all week long this week. So if you get tired of the advertising, just, you know, just deal with it. Call in on Sunday night. Since we got nobody else calling in, we got about 26 minutes left. Like I said, I had a list of stuff. There's the 319 area code. Good number again. This will be entertaining. 319 area code, you're on the use. It's on your brain.
Hello.
Hello.
I command you to speak.
Speak, yes. This is a talk show, so you need to talk. That's the way it works.
What's your given earth name?
What's on your brain? I'm sorry?
What's your given earth name?
Why? What's your given birth name, buddy?
Wow.
You play a good game of hoops.
I can't understand what you're saying there, Froggy.
Yeah, you need to adjust the settings on that thing.
Right.
Oh, how perfect.
What?
That's a little better. I think you need to
do
a little more.
How many souls can you deliver to me today?
Oh, I see. This is like supposed to be a Satan imitation.
Oh, okay.
I'm getting it now. All right, so you're the Dark Lord, is that right? That's what we're talking to? Wow.
I already dropped off a lot.
Yeah, let's not answer that again, man.
You think Satan would have more staying power, you know? That Satan would be able to hang out and have something intelligent to say. He's impressed with his wit. You know, talk about how he's going to win one of those Sin T-shirts next week or something. So anyways, what I was about to ask you before that guy tried to call back in, this has been in the news cycle. It's been a big deal. A U.S. sergeant, and I don't have that sergeant's name on my list right here, on my list of things to do. I didn't do that much research. But a U.S. sergeant in Afghanistan went off and basically, according to the story, and this is, I think, this may be a little bit exaggerated, but I don't know. He went door to door and killed 16 people. Now, going door to door, that's the part that I wonder about. Not that he killed 16 people. That apparently has been confirmed. Shot 16 civilians. The door to door part to me means, okay, well, door to door, two doors, three doors. How many doors did he have to go down to kill 16 people? I was wondering what you thought of what's going on, especially with this guy. You've got this, you got the Quran burnings. I heard a story saying that with the Quran burnings, part of what was going on was that these Qurans were being used by the Taliban, by the insurgents and everything else to share secret messages, the secret code back and forth. And the hypocrisy of these people that they get all up in arms when this kind of shit goes down. But then when Al-Qaeda or whoever kills a fucking press reporter or kills some soldiers or whatever, there's not a fucking word from these people about what went down. But before we get into that, there's a caller here at the 213 area code. I'm going to bring the 213 area code on the line. 213 area code, you're on the use. It's on your brain.
This is that number that just hangs out, man. They just call and we put them on and they don't say anything and then we put them on hold and hang out there the rest of the show. So
I need to write this number down, 213-344-7366.
That's
the number this person's calling from, right. So I know I just gave that number out on the air to pretty much anybody who wants it, who listens to the archive, listens to the chat room. I don't use that number or this opportunity as a reason to prank this person. Don't call them at late hours. Don't do anything like that because that's not what this show is about. So don't do anything with that phone number, with that information. Definitely don't take the number 213-344-7366 and give it out as a homoerotica talk number or anything like that. That would just be bad form. And the 319 area code number, who is on hold, you're going to stay on hold, buddy, but thanks for calling in. So I'll go ahead and mute this guy, too, the 213 area code. They can go ahead and listen. They can be our little captive audience. Hang up.
In all honesty, man, there would be nothing better than, registering these as, kiddie porn central numbers. Dropping them on kiddie porn sites. Hey, we got this secret underground kiddie porn network, and here's the phone number you can call to get information on that.
Right. Or maybe offering the numbers up on Craigslist, like you're saying, there's a couple of people looking for some really extreme, really twisted, man-on-man, heavy loving kind of thing. Maybe that's the way to go. And wow, the 319-573-6268 number just dropped off after being on hold. I guess, he didn't like not being able to use his little voice synthesizer. He'll have to find someplace else to call. And I'm sure when those folks get a call from 319-573-6268, they'll also provide the same warning not to prank that number, 319-573-6268. Don't do that. So,
Well, these are probably Google Voice numbers anyway, man, and I have a feeling that they connect to the same person, and that person's our Blackwood troll. So, I'm just putting this theory together, but fuck, why not?
Sure, right on. So, all the shit going down in Afghanistan, man. What the sergeant did, in my opinion, isn't right. There's definitely no excuse for that behavior. They're saying, it's stress and everything else. Regardless, you're a soldier, it's a professional thing, I understand it's your fourth tour and everything. Supposedly you just saw one of his buddies get blown up or anything. That happens every day to hundreds of soldiers in that country. So, but part of me is thinking, this guy, the people there, while they might have reason to be kind of, up in arms, it's kind of, hypocritical in a way. I'm sorry, my phone buzzed at the bad time. It's kind of hypocritical in a way that these people are, you know, screaming for blood, screaming for justice when, you know, they look at the other side, the enemy, who is using IUDs not only to blow up American soldiers, but blow up their people as well, and they're not nearly as bent on, you know, getting vengeance there.
Well, yeah, of course not. I mean, it's all being somewhat sensationalized by their internal media just to kind of rile them up in a particular way. I mean, that to me seems very obvious.
Right on. And I mean, so these people are, you know, it's that kind of division. These people are supposed to be civilians. There's supposed to be that distinction between them and, you know, the people who have aligned themselves with the Taliban. Again, this is just what I see here. This is a symptom more of failed U.S. policy, in my opinion, that once again, we go in there and we do some half-assed shit. We train these people, these soldiers, to go out and kill. You engage the enemy and you win, you know, you win the war. That's what these people are trained to do. And then you send them over there. They do a little damage. They secure an area, and then they're peacekeepers, basically. They're supposed to walk around and, you know, make people feel good about the Americans and everything else. They're like, hey, man, I don't want to shake your hand unless I'm wearing a bulletproof vest and I've got my rifle right here. That's how I feel about you, but it's my job to come over and shake your hand anyways. It's bullshit.
Right.
It's like, if we're going to be in Afghanistan, well, then let us be in Afghanistan. It's the mentality I have is, you know what, if we're going to be, let's be imperialists, man. I don't know why imperialism is a dirty word. If we're gonna make it our job to quell the, you know, the bullshit that goes on in other countries, that's in our best interest. I fully admit that going into Afghanistan or going into any of the other countries in the Middle East, we can talk about vengeance and justice for 9/11 or whatever, but we're there because of the cost of oil, because of making sure that we have our energy secured and our resources secured and everything else. That's what's going on. So if we're going to be there, well, let's kick some ass and, you know, take the fucking place over. That's why, since we're not doing that, since these people do not have a clear mission and cannot fully engage the enemy, well, then you're going to have soldiers like this sergeant go off.
Right on. I would have to completely agree with that. If we are going to, you know, play the part, we might as well do the best job at it that we can. I personally don't see any fucking reason why we need to be over there when, I mean, we have absolutely everything here that they have there. I mean, there's no difference. I mean, what, we don't have enough land? We've got to add some more? I mean, it's fucking desert, most of it. And, you know, the people are poor. They don't like us much anyway. So what
right.
The fuck, you know?
Well, I had a guy, I talked to some guy about that. I said the same thing, basically. I even said that, you know, we have just as much oil reserves here in the United States. I mean, we are one of the largest oil-producing countries in the world, the U.S. And if we're willing to tap our reserves, if we're willing to tap into, you know, we fully go, you know, balls to the wall and getting to the oil, we would be the largest producer in the world as far as oil is concerned. We'd be the number one people. And we would be, and because of that, you know, when I said, we can do all that here, why do we even fuck around with the Middle East? And the answer I got was that the Middle East is an unstable region of the world. And that instability would be exacerbated if we stopped sending them money for their oil, because the only thing they have there that they can export, and, you know, it really is oil. So if all of a sudden Saudi Arabia, Iraq, Iran, Kuwait, Syria, you know, Afghanistan, you know, whatever, all of a sudden that money dried up. If all of a sudden nobody's buying their oil anymore because they can buy it from the United States, well, then what's the other thing they can export? They can export, you know, young men who have nothing fucking to live for and are willing to blow themselves up for their God, for their religion. That's the only other fucking thing they produce. That's the only other fucking thing they can really export. So we are there to, you know, we're trying to make sure, first of all, the religious zealots don't take over the oil fields so that, you know, we have to buy our oil from these religious zealots, or these religious zealots refuse to, you know, to sell their oil, and then use the media spin machine in their countries to make it seem like the West is at war against, you know, the Middle East, and this is why the people are starving in the streets, and, you know, do what I was just saying, send out terrorists. There's that, and there's also making sure that, you know, these countries like Iran, who are running, you know, as hard as they can to get nuclear weapons. And I said this on a show a couple weeks ago, that I fully think that Iran as a sovereign nation should have access to nuclear weapons. If they're going to develop nuclear weapons, they should have them. They're a sovereign nation. The thing that we need to deal with, though, is that as a sovereign nation, it's your responsibility to defend that right to maintain those weapons. The little bullshit about sanctions and everything else and trying to talk Iran out of it and everything, no. You basically tell Iran, if you pick up nuclear weapons, we're going to slap the shit out of your hands. We're gonna fuck things up. Again, the imperialist mentality, the mentality of being willing to do the job that needs to be done.
Right on. Absolutely. I mean, the whole thing is we as Americans are very, very good at you know, being the bad guy and at the same time pretending like we're doing it for your own good. And
right.
That we built our entire society up around it. You know, wear your seatbelt or we're going to charge you a $500 ticket, but this is for your own good. It's not to stimulate the $500 tickets. You know what I'm saying?
Right, right, exactly. Yeah, we're really good at it is bullshit, and it's the same half measures, the same bullshit we've been pulling on each other since, you know, at least the last 100 years here in this country. And the sad thing is, you know, when people talk about the United States and everything else, the decline of the United States, the decline of the United States has nothing to do with the economy. It has nothing to do with social issues. It's all around one thing and one thing only. We as a people, we as a culture have become lackadaisical. We've become complacent. We're no longer hungry. We're no longer striving for anything. You know, we're very happy with what we have, with our televisions, with our fast food, with everything we've got. So as a people, we're no longer looking to advance or progress. You've got these other countries, you know, China, fuck it, Afghanistan, the Middle East, who are hungry. They want to be world powers. They want to be taken seriously. They want better for their families and everything else. We've already got it. That's the way we see things, is we already got it, you know, and it's, we don't have the sense, unfortunately, as a society, to take, you know, the steps to defend what it is, you know, what the things we have.
Right on. Well, and I think that's not something that is specifically limited to our current model of society. It's something that has reoccurred throughout all of history. You know,
right,
once something gets to the world power part, they get a little fat, they get a little lazy, and they get off by the next hungry creature that comes along. It's the old lion and gazelle analogy.
Right. When you're not hungry enough to defend yourself, when you're not hungry enough to take the drastic action, you know, like the shit in Afghanistan. If the United States were to go in there and truly kick some ass and truly not give a fuck about, you know, what the people think and what our neighbors in the West think or whatever, we just go in there, do what needs to be done, get the job done, the situation would change. It would be, you know, you would have a liberated Afghanistan. These people, I mean, look what happened to fucking Germany in World War II. I mean, we stuck around for several generations to make sure these people weren't about to pick their shit back up again and, you know, pull the same thing. Now, I mean, we rolled into Iraq in 1991. We're there for 4 days. We knocked the shit out of them. You know, 4 days is all it took to fucking, you know, take over Iraq and show that, you know, the fourth largest army in the world was a joke. But then we pulled out. We left. Who was the president? I think Bush told Schwarzkopf, don't, you know, that's it. Don't even bother. Don't go after them. They learned their lesson, basically. So we pulled out because we were concerned about public opinion as far as the world was concerned. And Saddam Hussein, you know, picked the shit back up, you know, remained dictator, and laughed it off.
Right on. I mean, I just don't see why. I mean, fuck it. If we're going to dominate the world, let's just, let's do it. Let's nuke everybody. Fuck it.
Right.
That's
right.
The way that I see it. I mean, and if it's all about, you know, there could only be one, and we're working towards that whole Highlander thing, then then fuck it, let's get it on. Why do we have to pretend like we're civil?
Right, exactly. Because we aren't. I mean, we can talk about how evolved we are and our social sensibilities and everything else, but we're not. It's a joke. It's a game we're playing on ourselves. And, you know, the people in the Middle East, I think they know it. They realize it. That there's never been anything civil about the way the West, you know, treats the rest of the world. And I'm not saying that it's necessarily a bad thing. I'm not saying that, you know, the Indians deserve our apologies or whatever. The Native Americans deserve our apologies. I'm not saying that any conquered, culture did not deserve to be conquered. But in the same token, we as a culture, if we don't, you know, if we are no longer have the strength to hold on to what it is we think we have, well, then we deserve it from us. And that's the way I see things going. These people in the Middle East, they think they have the strength to hold what they have and get more. So they're going for it. Like I said, they're hungry. We don't have that hunger anymore. We've got this kind of ambiguous ideal that we're striving for, we're told we're striving for by the people that are running shit. Yeah, it's just a bad scene all the way around. So you get some sergeant over there that's just trying to do his job, trying to do his duty, and he snaps. I no doubt this guy, you know, this guy lost his mind. There's another part of me is thinking, you know what, did this guy just snap, or was he given orders to go to these particular houses to kill, you know, everything that was in there? Because the people in Afghanistan are saying it wasn't one soldier, that was several soldiers. So were these people given orders to go in there, do the deed, you know, wipe these people out? And then when the officers looked at what happened, it's like, oh, shit, we told you the wrong houses. They're on the houses we wanted you to hit, but three blocks, you know, north or whatever. Now what do we do? Oh, well, we got to have a fall guy. Let's go have the sergeant be a fall guy. He's tripping out anyways. It's his fucking duty cycle, and he's got problems at home or whatever. Let's go ahead and make it his fault. I can totally see our government doing that shit, too. Not to be a conspiracy nut or anything else, but it's just, you know, it's just the way things get done anymore.
Right, right. Well, I mean, and beyond that, without having any actual intimate knowledge to the true details of the situation, all things are suspect. So.
Right, right, right.
I mean, it's not really a conspiracy theory until you have, you know, some kind of, implications or evidence to back up the actual conspiracy. The idea of getting to a theory is that you have some relative inclinations to pointing one way or another. At this point, I think you just would say that this is very possibly something we would do. I mean, you know, we've all heard about the black ops that were run during Eisenhower's time. You know, the supposed attack on whatever that boat was back in the, what would it have been, like the 40s at that point.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's, we still don't have any clear, we still don't have any clear documentation one way or the other as to how it really went. We have conflicting stories, so, you know, it's not beyond us as far as that being the possibility. Yeah.
Well, I'm hoping that the citizenry of the United States gets sick of the capitulation, that they get sick of constantly being told to bend over and take it once again as these people rise up in the streets and start killing their soldiers. And I, you know, my fucking thing is, you know, bring them all home now. If we're not going to let them do the job, then bring them all the fuck home and let those assholes just tear the shit out of each other. Let them go nuts. Let them, you know, jihad against one another, Sunni versus Shia or whatever, and let them just fuck things up like they've been doing for fucking thousands of years. And all we got to do is make sure that, you know, they stay in their playground, basically. That if the shit starts
right to
spill over, well, then we slap that shit back into their borders and everything. That's as far as it needs to go, as far as, you know, as our involvement's concerned.
I think we need to start dealing with some realities here, man. I mean, if you look at just tarantulas in specific, just because I'm familiar with them, there are certain species of tarantulas that are prone to aggressive behaviors, and there are certain ones that are prone to docile behaviors. As a matter of fact, they're in a very blanket format categorized one of two ways, either New World or Old World. the old world tend to be more aggressive. They tend to be more territorial, and the new world are more flighty, so to speak.
Right on, right on. And that's, I mean, it's, and you see that in people too, just like you're saying. Basically, there's, you know, there are people that are, you know, less aggressive, and there are people that are more aggressive. And the thing is that what I see though is that aggression is just it's a matter of relativity. You have people that are very aggressive in their appearance, and then you have people that are very withdrawn, but their aggression is still evident. I just look at, you know, I look at the Western society and everything else, and the people that do, you know, run things prefer that the society itself, the people that they are ruling, remain docile, remain complacent, remain apathetic about things. But they don't want you to give a shit. Whereas the people in the Middle East, they want to, like you're saying, rile people up. They want to, you know, whip them into a frenzy. They want them to go nuts and be willing to do whatever needs to be done to fucking, you know, achieve whatever the goals are. So I think that, you know, the people here in the West, we can be just as aggressive, but it's been so many generations of being told not to. So many generations of being told, keep your head down, stand in fucking line, and just deal with it, just take it, that it's our default behavior anymore.
Yeah, I would agree. I would say that we're no longer an aggressive species, at least not directly. We're more of a passive aggressive species here in this area. And that's just how I want to call it. But I'm just saying, man, you know, would you go into a pit of monitors and try to talk them into, you know, being more friendly and more peaceful and dealing with their environment? No,
right,
you recognize
right, yeah.
the fact.
Go ahead, dude.
So, anyway, dude, we got like a minute, so it's whatever, you know?
All right, yeah, fuck it. We'll go ahead and roll it out just real quick at the end. Next week's show, call in with your dirtiest, raunchiest jokes. We're going to do 2 hours of nothing but whatever you think is funny, whatever you think can make DC laugh, and the best joke of the night is going to win a T-shirt. So check us out next Sunday, man. All right. Let's do it, man. I'll talk to you later.
All right. Later, man.